You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
I saw a hand here too. Not until you see me marching. Anybody else? Oh, there's some more back there. Come in. Oh, watch it. Things might be dripping on your head. Other apple slice. All right, apple slice there. Okay, using a hat. Come on, this isn't a game. You're supposed to eat the apple. All right. Hey, there we go. All right, thanks. Back row. Oh, not far enough. Watch your head. I saw a hand there. Okay. Oh, sorry. You might get dripped on. Did that make it? Okay, you are responsible, if you raised your hand for not catching, you are responsible to clean it up afterwards. But I got more. All right. Oh, that's a juicy one. Okay, all right. Hey, all right, thank you. Okay, trying it again, back row. Yes, all right. Anybody else? Apple slice. Oh, somebody should clean that up. Did you get it? All right. Anybody else? Apple slices. I got plenty of apples here. Sorry, I can't see. All right, nice job. Anybody else want an apple slice? Okay. Oh, sorry. We got more. We're good. Okay. All right. I feel like one of those people at the farm show. Now I'm going to sell you really expensive pans that you can't use. Okay. If you haven't been to the farm show, then that makes no sense. If you're listening online and you're not from Pennsylvania and you're like, why would you go to the farm show to buy pans? It's just what you do. So, anybody else? I got plenty more apples here. I don't mind. No? Okay, my hands are clean. They're washed. So, all right. Well, let's talk about about some things here. We're starting a new series today called Next. And this is going to be a two-month series as we look at what's next. This is a new year, and, you know, new year means everything's new, you know, like the roof and the heat and all that good stuff. But we talk about new. We talk about New Year's resolutions and this idea of saying, it's a new year, let's start something new. Let's kind of take that next step. And so over these 2 months, we're going to talk about some next steps. And as you see there on the logo, we're going to be looking at looking inward and looking outward. So for the first month, the month of January, we're going to look at looking inward. And that's just dripping on a speaker. That's okay. We're going to be looking at looking inward. And then next month, we're going to be looking at outward. And I want to share for you, it's good. I want to share for you a sort of a vision of what could MC3 be next? What's the next step for us? And just to give you a little bit of a spoiler, we're not changing what we do. We are committed as a church to the C3 process, community, congregation, and caring. But it's saying, okay, how can we take that and take it to the next level, to the next step as we move forward? However, before we do that, it's important for us to look in, to look inward at us and say, okay, if we are going to take things to the next step, to the next level, there's some things we need to change inside first, in our own hearts, in our own bodies, in our own lives. And so that's what we're going to be doing in January, so that we can talk about what we can do as a church in February, what we can do as we look outward in that month. But this idea of an apple. Now, first of all, there's a lot of dripping back there. What would you describe this as? If you had to make a phrase for what an apple, a category for an apple, what would you call it? Fruit. All right, good. So an apple is fruit. And therefore, an apple comes from what? A tree. Very good. I realized that as I was getting this song for this morning. Don't sit under the apple tree. I'm like, right. They come from trees. So if you've got an apple tree that has fruit, what are some things you know about that apple tree? What do you know about that apple tree? Oh, nobody and everything. Okay, start over again. What? All right, it needs water to grow. It will grow apples. An apple tree will grow apples. Very, very good. It has seeds. Okay. It started as a sapling. It needs to be pruned. It will blossom. Wow, we could take this for like a 3-month series just on what you shared right now. So we're done. Next week, each of you that shared will have to prepare, and we'll schedule you for the next 2 months. All of those things are true because an apple tree is a plant. And we know some things about plants. If we research, we know that plants need some basic things. Plants need what? What are some basic things plants need? Sunlight. Excellent. Yes, plants need sunlight. What else does a plant need? Soil. Very good. And what else does a plant need? Water. Yes, soil, water, and light. Chloroform? Chlorophyll? It does need, but doesn't it create its own chlorophyll? And then carbon dioxide. But let's just go with some basic things here and look at these three things, because I want to talk about this idea. If we're looking inward, before we can take the next step, I want you to spend this next month looking at yourself. Don't worry about the people around you. Wives, do not look at your husband and go, you better pay attention to this one. Kids, don't tell your parents they should pay attention. Parents, don't give them that look. This is an individual thing, because I think for all the things we're going to be talking about over the course of this first half of the series, there are things that we can change, that we might be doing pretty well, but there's always better. And so I really want us to take this month to look at these things and say, let's make us who we need to be so that we can do what God wants us to do. So this idea of fruit comes to this point, and we're going to have the point's going to be broken down into two parts over the next 2 months. But this idea of looking inward, we're going to be looking at a few things, and this idea of the next. And so for this month of January, we're going to be looking at the next step for me. The next step for me, and that's you. That's me. And next month, we'll be looking at the next step for us. So I'm just kind of a lot of background here to get us set up for where we're going over these 2 months. But the next step for me and the next step for us. And the next step for me this week is to grow in my relationship with Jesus. You see, if we want to eat a good apple, we know that somebody has taken the time to develop the soil, to make sure that it is well watered, and to give it, make sure it's in the sun. They put apples, trees in apple orchards. That's where they grow, I think. And that's a place where there's a lot of apple trees. But somebody took the time to make sure that all those elements are there so that it will grow. And as followers of Jesus, this is for you if you're a follower of Jesus. If you're not, if you don't quite get the church thing, if you're not into the Jesus thing yet, that's cool. And hopefully some of the things we'll be talking about, you'll understand that, because there's so much to following Jesus and why it's so important and such a beautiful thing. But I don't want you to feel like, well, I don't get it. I'm cool with you just going, oh, okay, I'm chewing on this a little bit. But if you're a follower of Jesus, if you call yourself a Christ follower, then this is something that I want you to really look in deep and say, what do I need to do? What do I need to do for this next step for me? And over the course of this month, we're going to cover four separate issues. And they're kind of all over the place. But I don't want you to be overwhelmed. So if you're finishing this morning and you're like, wow, that is something I really need to work on, then great. Praise God. Work on it. Do what you can to grow in your relationship with Jesus. But if you get later in the month and you're like, wow, I need to work on that and that and that and that, just, okay, let's work on this one area. Start one bite at a time, one step at a time to develop these different areas inside our own lives. But this week, we want to look at this idea of growing in our relationship with Jesus. And there's a difference. Well, let's put it this way. If a plant, as Scott mentioned, doesn't produce fruit, what do you know about that plant? Let me back up. If an apple tree, let's be specific, doesn't produce apples, what do you know about that tree? It's got a defect, it's dead, it's not doing well. And any plant has to grow. If a plant is not growing, it's dead. There is no such thing as a plant that is. A plant is either growing or dying. And the same is true of us in our relationship with Jesus. We need to be growing. You can't be stagnant. You can't be stuck where you are and say, I'm good. It's not possible. We need to be growing. And growing means that maybe there's a blossom that appears. There's a beautiful thing that happens. Maybe it's fruit that we produce. Maybe it's just physical growth in an area. There's all these different things. But I want you to understand that for us as followers of Jesus, we need to be growing. Otherwise, we're dying. And we're a young church. We're a new church, 6.5 years old, give or take. And this is something that has plagued the church in America and probably the church around the world for generations. This idea that, well, I've arrived. Well, I've been doing this long enough. I've been going through the motions. I get it. I'm good. And I want us to say, no, that's not possible. That's not good enough. We need to be growing. You need to be growing in order to produce fruit. So let's talk about what that looks like. We're going to look at a passage in Psalm chapter 1. So the lights are on. You can open if you have a paper Bible and you don't want it to get dripped on. Just move it around generally. But we're going to be in Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. If you have the YouVersion app, it's Old Testament. Tap on Psalm, tap on 1. And that's where we will be in verses 1 to 3. And this is what the person writing the Psalm said. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. And so I want to look at this psalm and this idea of saying, what does it take for us to grow in our relationship with Jesus, in our relationship as followers of God? And here the psalm writer says that the person that does these things will become like a tree. So there are a few things that we can look at here. When it comes to looking inward, there's some essentials for growth. And we already said we're talking about sun and we're talking about water and we're talking about soil. So let's kind of break that down in a way that you can't see because my font contrast has not worked for this particular part. But the first thing we saw was sun, that a plant needs sun to grow. And for us, there's a similar parallel. And that is that if we want to grow, if you want to grow in Jesus, if you're saying, you know what, I'm not content to be where I am, or I have been content to be where I am, and that's wrong, the first thing we need to do is to avoid darkness. We need to stop sinning. We need to see these things that are wrong, that God says are wrong, and agree with God and stop doing them. Now, I'm going to say all that, but we're going to talk more about that in a couple of weeks. So we're not going to get into too much depth about this particular idea because we're going to come back to that in a few more weeks. But in Psalm 1, verse 1, the writer says, blessed is the one. And the word blessed, by the way, means overjoyed, happy. It's this idea in the New Testament, the word means to recognize that God is at work in your life. And so this word blessed doesn't mean there's someone that's up there like doing some kind of thing on you, or someone pours water on your head, or someone, you know, kisses you before you walk out of the house or anything like that. This word means that, man, things are good. And the way the writer of Psalms describes these things are good has nothing to do with, wow, I've got a nice car. I've got a good house. Good job. Got a hot wife. Got, you know, whatever. That is not what the writer of Psalms says. So what is the blessed person? They are ones who do not walk in step with the wicked. And there's some interesting words here. This idea of in step with the wicked. We know what wicked means for the most part. You know, people that are not right, people that are not following God, people that are disobeying, sinning, whatever you want to call that. But this idea of walking in step with them, the word means to take advice from, to take counsel from, to learn from. So my question to you is, who is influencing you? Who are you taking advice from? Is it your peer group? Is it the people at your job? Is it the people in your home, maybe? But ultimately, is it people that are following and driving you closer to Jesus or further away? And it's important to understand here that this isn't saying we shouldn't talk to people that don't follow Jesus. That's exactly the opposite of what we are called to do, and we'll talk more about that next month. But who are the influencers in your life? Who are the ones speaking into your life? Is it Facebook? Is it what all the other people are posting on Instagram? Or is it godly, righteous, appropriate things? Because the writer here is saying that the person that is blessed is the one that isn't taking advice from people that are far from God, that isn't allowing them to influence their life. And then he goes on and says, or stand in the way that sinners take. And this word stand in the way, stand means, the Hebrew word here, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the word stand means literally to stand still. Is there a time when you're supposed to be moving, when you're supposed to be getting out of a situation, and maybe you're not listening to the advice of people and letting them influence you, but you're not moving when you should move? Maybe they're talking about things and making jokes or comments or gossip or whatever, and instead of saying, hey, excuse me, guys, can I go over here? And I'm not saying you're all like holier than thou, like, oh, the Lord bless you for your sin, I'm going to walk over here and grow my halo. No. But maybe you just walk away and say, excuse me. Or do you sit there and be like, yeah, this is funny. That was a completely inappropriate joke, and I know it's very offensive, but I'm going to laugh at it anyway. Like, are you standing still when you should be moving? Are you staying in a spot when you should be going? Because that's what the person who is blessed does not stand in the way that sinners take. And then finally, or sit in the company of mockers. And this is people tearing other people down, people making jokes, making comments in an appropriate way. And the idea of sitting means the same thing. You're in their house. You're with them. You're letting them guide and shape and direct your life. And the point is this, that if we want to grow in our relationship with Jesus, we need to avoid the darkness. We need to stay away from these things and these people that are influencing us to do things that are wrong, that are guiding us to do things that are inappropriate. There's a guy on the catwalk. Okay. Oh, is it dripping on? Okay. You probably can't get to it from up there. But, yes. So, avoiding the darkness, unlike him who is hiding in the darkness. So that's the first thing, is that if we're going to grow, if we want to grow, we need to stop letting these people, letting these things, letting these issues influence our lives. Because when they do, it's going to drive us away from Jesus. And again, I'm not saying don't have any friends that don't follow Jesus. Like next month, we're going to talk all about saying, hey, let's get to know people and say, come, hear what Jesus has to offer you. Hear how powerful the message of what Jesus did, the rescue that Jesus did for us. But in order to do that, we're going to need to not allow these people to be directing. And I know, I mean, we've joked about this a million times, the old Facebook rant. And, oh, I can't believe this person did this, or my husband, or I'm sure. Like, first of all, stop. It is a public place. No one cares about your crap in a public place. No, don't do that. Like, it's just, it don't. But then the best thing is you go and air this grievance and people and like, oh, you know what? I really hate this person and they're such a jerk. And can you believe what they did? And oh, by the way, I'm married to them. And I'm going to go off on how awful they are. And then someone's going to say, oh, it's okay, hon. It's okay, hon. You tell him. You let him know how right you are. Who does he think he is? No, do not allow these things to influence you. Don't allow culture to influence you. Don't allow these things that are wrong, that are now becoming politically like, whoa, don't say that. Don't do that. So we know that sexual assault is wrong. It's inappropriate. So that's wrong. So yeah, we'll be like, yeah, Matt Lauer, down with Matt Lauer. But then we're like, hey, let me listen to this song that says the same thing, but it's to a poppy beat. So I'm cool with it. No, avoid the darkness. Let's be consistent here, people. So that's the first part. We're going to talk more about that in a couple of weeks. So we're going to stop with that for now. But in order to grow, we need sun. The second thing we need in order to grow is that we need water. A plant needs water. And for us, we need to water our lives. We need to pursue Jesus. We need to be going after Jesus. If you have a relationship with someone, and I'm talking specifically a significant other, the way you develop that relationship is by pursuing that person. You all right up there? Okay. He stopped moving. Like, did you die? But you pursue that relationship. The other day, none of my family is here. They're all serving upstairs. The other day, my wife was telling my daughter about how we first started dating, and Alethea was getting all like, ooh, these cool things. And my girls are like, Dad, you're really impressive. How are we ever going to measure up? I'm like, yeah. But anyway, But you know, this whole idea of sharing these stories of how I pursued Kendra and our relationship and all that, because that's what you do in a relationship. If you stop talking to them, you don't have a relationship. Mike Slayton, if you are listening to this, if you even know that I'm in Lewistown, Pennsylvania, you were the best man at my wedding. I think I talked to you 17 years ago. He lives near my family. I was just down there last week. We don't have a relationship. We don't communicate. I don't talk. But a relationship requires this pursuit. It requires this action, this forward-moving focus. And I know I just lost all the points of being like, yeah, you're awesome. And you don't even talk to your best man, jerk. It's okay, though. I'm okay. But he goes on in verse 2 of Psalm 1 and says that, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, stand in the way of the sinners, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Delight. This word is really that. If someone says, oh, I can't wait to spend time with God. I can't wait to spend time in my relationship with Him. I can't wait to spend time in His law, in what He, and in this law of the Lord. It means more than just like the Ten Commandments. But it's all who He is. And says, I can't wait. I'm delighted. And if you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus, you need to pursue Him. Now, He is always and forever pursuing you. But if you want to grow, we need to also turn around and say, okay, let's pursue Jesus. Let's go after Him. Let's make Him our goal. Let's make Him the one. Like, I want to grow, so I can't just sit back and say, okay, I've tried the whole plant without water thing. It doesn't work. It's annoying. You have to keep watering it. I had this one plant that when I would water it, it would always overflow the thing. So I thought, well, let's just stop watering it. Didn't work. It was kind of, just didn't work. Because you need to be proactive. You need to pursue that. And again, I don't want you to understand that that in some way we are making God work in our lives. I'm not implying that at all. But to develop a relationship, it requires pursuit. It requires this saying, okay, I'm going after Jesus. And you can't just sit back and say, why am I not growing? And I would say, what are you doing? Nothing. Why isn't that plant growing? Have you watered it? No. We need to pursue Jesus. If we want to grow, if you want to grow, if it's a new year and saying, you know what, I have been sitting back and been stagnant and been kind of just going through the motions and doing the thing, but not actually being moving forward, not actually growing, then this is one thing you need to do is say, I'm not going to sit back anymore. I'm going to pursue Jesus. And you're not going to have to pursue Jesus far. prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells the story of this father who his son goes and turns his back on him, runs away, squanders his inheritance, and comes back to his dad and basically says, you know, I'll just be your servant because I can't be worth anything more than that after all that I've done. And immediately the father has his arms, runs to the son, and says, here, we're going to have a party because you're back. Like, don't, if we pursue God, he is right there waiting for us. So the third essential that you need for growth is soil. You need to have grounding. You need to have a good foundation to grow a plant, to grow a tree. And I struggle with how to phrase this, this idea of soil, but I came up with the word devour. Because devouring has this idea of, I want it. I want it. I want it. Precious. You know, like you want it. I want more of it. I can't have enough of it. And that's what we need to be doing if we're going to grow in our relationship. We need that grounding. We need that foundation. And that's what he says in the second part of Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. He says, whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. When's the last time you, let's talk about meditating day and night. Let's give you some credit. Let's give us some credit. Maybe you have read the Bible. You've got your plan. You've been doing it. But when's the last time you've actually read your Bible? You know what I'm saying here? Because there's this, and again, if you've never even done this, we'll talk more about what this looks like in a little bit. But maybe you're doing this thing, and you're like, okay, quick reread it. Okay, good, check. Whew. God's cool with me. Read my Bible today. But this word here, meditate, it has this idea of over and over and over. I don't know if anybody in your family or any of your friend circles, does anybody have like an annoying like tapping, twitching issue? I remember specifically there's a friend of ours at our previous church, and there we had pews, which is a smelly word. But we had pews, which are those long, long benches. And I remember being like, dang it, I'm sitting in the same row with him. Because he would do this. His foot would do this constantly, and I almost be like, stupid, stop! Because you're over there shaking, and you do this. And that's this idea, or a tapping, or I don't know what it is in our dinner table. It's like all of a sudden you have to hum something at the dinner table. And I was exploring this in my own mind. I spend the week here in this building, the day in the building, and I am alone here, just me, the dripping, and the birds flying around inside. That was earlier in the week. It's nobody else. And my kids, they're homeschooled. The younger two are homeschooled. The older two are in a cyber school. So they're all at home doing their schoolwork during the day. And then basically the time I get home is also the same time that they are done with all their work and their focus. So I come from quiet, tender dripping, into, and I sit at the table, and almost, it's been consistent. And he's like, are you okay? I think so. It's from 0 to 60 in like 2 seconds. And there's this humming, and I'm not going to call out any of my kids, but there's one in particular that will just hum, and like now, they're PKs, that's a word that people have used for pastors' kids. So they're in here at 8:30 in the morning on Sundays, and then we'll be out of here around 1:30 or 2 o'clock this afternoon. And in between that, we'll be playing this intro music looping over and over and over and over. And so that gets stuck in their heads, and I guarantee that tomorrow night at dinner, they're going to be like humming the same thing over. Shut up! And then you know what I do when I get in bed? I'm like, Do you have that? Like, I can't get these things out of my head. Anyway, the point is that's what this word means. This meditate means over and over and over and over and repetitive. And it's not meant to be an annoying thing, but an idea that says, I want the Word of God. I want to devour it. I want to go over and over and over. And I just can't stop because I love the God, the Word of God, and I love my relationship with Jesus. I delight in His law, and I meditate on it day and night. I want to chew it up. I want to devour it. And if you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus, that's what we need to do. We have to pursue Him and then say, I'm going to spend time in His Word. I'm going to spend time learning and growing. And again, not just doing the check off thing. So that, and I don't mean check off like Star Trek, even though we heard that music earlier. But like to check it off of your list. But to say, I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to chew on it. And I would just like to say that you would be better off. And I personal opinion, let's put it that way. You would probably be better off reading one or two verses and chewing on them throughout the course of the day or in your study time or whatever, your reading time, rather than, and I know I have professors from college and seminary, they're going to kick me right now, but rather than saying, I'm going to read the entire book of Deuteronomy. Like, that's great, and there's a place and time for that, but if we're really talking about meditating and chewing on it, take it in bite-sized pieces and devour it and let it change you from the outside in. So those are the essentials for growth. You need to have sun, water, and soil. We need to avoid darkness, pursue Jesus, and devour the Bible. Because again, looking inward, the next step for me is to grow in my relationship with Jesus. So let's explore that a little bit more. He goes on in verse 3. And talks about the importance of the roots. The importance of the roots of a tree, of the foundation, of what that becomes. And so I want to kind of make some connections here when it comes to remembering our roots. To understanding what does it take to grow. We know we need to do it. We need to pursue Jesus. We need to avoid darkness. We need to devour the Word, the Bible. But there's some things here that we need to understand. Because that was the what, and this is the why. Why do we need to do this? Why does it matter? Why do we need to take the time to grow in Jesus? Aside from the fact that I already said you're going to be dead if you don't. Like, that's spiritual, like, well, I don't want to say spiritual death, but the lack of growth means not alive. And the first thing we need to understand is that if you're not connected, you're not growing. Kind of straightforward, redundant, we've already said that. But no connection, no growth. And in Psalm 1, verse 3, the first part of verse 3, he says, that person, the person that is blessed, the person that is going through all this stuff, go for it. We've got some, okay. Just wires, just plugs. I'm going to unplug this right now while standing in water. All right. Now we're unplugged. He says, that person that is blessed, that is going through all these things, they're like a tree planted by streams of living water. So what do we know about that tree? If it's planted, it's growing. It's there. It's got its roots in the soil. It is connected to the things that it needs. And if we are growing in Jesus, we are going to be like that. A tree planted by streams of living water. I mean, like, think about, or not living water, streams of water. If you think about, like, that is a great environment for a tree. To be right by the water, to have no issues of, oh, if it's a drought, I mean, granted, water levels rise and fall, but not fully dependent on the rain because you've got a stream right by providing. That's dripping right on a guitar. It's only a really expensive guitar. Streams. Streams of water. Yeah, so what is, John says the same thing, a similar thing in John chapter 15, actually Jesus says it, and he says, remain in me, remain connected to Jesus, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Makes sense? A branch disconnected doesn't bear fruit. He says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. So we stay connected to Jesus, connected to the roots, connected to the vine, and we will produce fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And we need to get that, because we try to live and say, I'm going to do this Jesus thing, but stay disconnected from Jesus. It doesn't work. You can't do it. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. He says, no connection, no growth. If we're not connected to Jesus, we're not going to grow. So we need to be connected if we want to grow. We need to be connected to the vine, and He will do everything through us. But apart from Him, we can do nothing. The second thing we see here, is no connection, no fruit. Again, an apple tree that doesn't produce apples is worthless. Especially if you're an apple tree farmer. Because that's, right? What do you call them? Apple tree farmers. So if you're an apple tree farmer or an orange... Now I'm getting outside of my frame of knowledge. Let's just stick with apple trees. If you're an apple tree farmer and your trees don't produce apples, you're not going to be able to do much. Especially if that is the way, what you rely on, you depend on for your source of income. You need your apple trees to produce apples. And so, if there is no connection, there is no fruit. And Psalm 1:3 says this. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, who yields its fruit in season, which yields its fruit in season. So staying connected means we're going to yield fruit. Staying connected means if we are growing in Jesus, we're going to produce fruit. And in Galatians chapter 5, Paul says this, that the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that means when God is working in us, Holy Spirit is in us as we are followers of Jesus. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So if we want to grow, if we want to produce fruit, we need to stay connected to Jesus, and then His Spirit will produce fruit in our lives. But if we're not connected, we're not going to produce fruit. And as a pastor, I ended up talking to people, and honestly, Kendra and I have shared, like, people are like, oh, look what Sean and Kendra did 6 years ago, stepping out in faith with no income, planting this church, and yeah, that's great, and God has done amazing things. But here's my problem with that statement, and I'm not denying what God has done. That was huge. It was scary and all that. But people kind of step back and go, I could never do that. God would never work in my life that way. You're a pastor. It's like, no. If you want to see God work, grow in Him and let Him work through you. Let Him produce fruit in your life. Let Him produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we are connected to Him, when we are growing in Him, He will do that. So don't ever put me on any kind of a pedestal. Except if you want to see me, because I'm so short. But understand that God can work in all of us. And if you're not seeing God working in your life, it's not because of who you are, God's inability to be able to use you. It's a matter of saying, I want to be connected to Jesus and let Him produce the fruit in my life. So no connection, no fruit. And then finally, no connection, no hope. No connection, no hope. And I think this is the one that really hits us. Because, yeah, we want to grow in Jesus, and we want to produce fruit, and those are all things. But sometimes it's really hard when life sucks. Sometimes it's really hard to feel that way when we're going through difficult and challenging issues and challenging circumstances and going through hard times. And there's almost this this assumption, well, I'm going through a bad time. God doesn't care about me. And usually the reason you feel that way isn't because God has given up on you, but because you've given up on God. Because God will never, ever, ever, ever give up on you. And that's what He says in the last part of Psalm 1, verse 3. He says, they are a tree planted in streams of water, yields fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. And I want you to understand something about what's going on in this part of the verse here. There's an assumption that some leaves do wither. And we know that. We've looked out. You see a dying tree. You see a dying plant. You see what withering looks like. And he's saying that there's still going to be hard times. There are going to be rough circumstances. There's going to be scorching sun. There's going to be hot winds. There's going to be cold days. But in that, this person that is delighting in God's word, that is meditating on it day and night, they will be able to stay strong. And if you are going through a hard time, don't turn away from God. Turn to him. Because he will give you the strength to get through. Notice I didn't say he will clean up the problem. He will give you the strength to get through. And I think that's the challenging thing for us, is we're like, oh, things are so miserable. Oh, God doesn't even care about me anymore. When's the last time you pursued him? Well, I don't pursue him. He should pursue me. And there's your problem. We've missed that connection. In John chapter 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And I love what he says. And you've heard me talk about this passage before. It's probably one of my favorites in the Bible, because it's just so raw and so real. And Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. That's important. He doesn't say you'll have peace because it'll be okay, or it'll all work out, or your situation will improve, or the scenario will get better, or suddenly the ice will go away and it will suddenly become a warm, beautiful day. He says, no, in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so what he's saying here is, look, if you are going through a hard time, it's going to be hard. That's life. That's sin. We talked about that the very first week of the rescue series last month. I mean, sin has stained everything and tainted everything. But Jesus says, look, in me, you will have peace. Come to me and you will find peace. Come to me and I will help you through it. Come to me and I will give you the strength to carry on. Come to me, pursue me, grow in me, delight in me, meditate on me, not me. Jesus, and you will have peace. And that's something I think is so important for us to get. New year, growing. Let's not sit back and say, well, everything's horrible. Quit your whining. Pursue Jesus. Then whine and say, it's really hard, but you know what? God is with me, and he is never going to let me go. This situation is horrendous, but I know that he loves me. And the more we separate from God, the more we forget that. So turn to him, pursue him, because if there's no connection, there's no hope. So, those are the things. There's no connection, there's no growth. If there's no connection, there's no fruit. If there's no connection, there's no hope. We need to stay connected. We need, to grow in our relationship with Jesus. And maybe that's your point for this month. The next step for me is to grow in my relationship with Jesus. That's what I need to do. Because I've been sitting back. I've been stagnant. I've been looking around and saying, why aren't I producing fruit? Are you getting water? Are your roots in where they need to be? Are you getting the sun that you need? So that might be the next step. And so here's just some practical things. What does that look like? What is connection? And I don't want to, I'm hesitant mostly because of my church baggage. But I grew up in church. I grew up in a youth group, and we always talked about having our quiet time. And if you had a quiet time, you loved Jesus. And if you didn't have a quiet time, you're going to hell as a sinner. Maybe it wasn't that strong. But this idea of a quiet time meant like, yeah, last night I opened my Bible and read something and then said, Jesus, thanks for my house. Amen. And I'm in. And then there was kind of this, I guess the problem with that is that a quiet time, a personal time with God, which is not a bad thing, but it doesn't stop after that 5-minute stint. It's not this thing where we're like, yep, I did it. Hey, God, I read a Bible verse today. Why aren't things good today? You've missed it. So what is connection? There's some things that this looks like. First of all, it's praying and talking. And I use talking because praying is talking and talking is praying. And I want you to understand that because we kind of have sometimes this idea, especially outside of the church or even in the church, frankly, this idea of praying is like this super spiritual thing. And it is because you are talking to the God of the universe. But it's not some sort of exclusive, I need to make sure. Like my grandmother, I've shared this with you before, like she was a wonderful, lovely lady, loved Jesus. And when she prayed, she turned into 16th century English. She had to speak to thy and you, thou, Lord, are thou. Like, grandma, you don't talk like that. Why? Like, and I'm not saying that that was wrong. That was her way of respect. But understand that it's not something we have ballooned it up into this super intense, like, yeah. You know what? Sometimes you can just pray like, God, I'm about to walk into a room and I know I'm in a bad situation. Help me to trust you. Well, that doesn't sound very spiritual. No. Nehemiah did that. Maybe you're going, God, this sucks. Where are you? Well, that's not very spiritual. No, but Habakkuk did that. Because we have this idea of like just praying. No, it's just talking to God. And that's how you develop a relationship with someone. You talk to them. The other night, Kendra and I went out on a date. And we chose to go out on Friday night, which was not a wise decision in terms of environmental conditions. But we were debating back and forth on whether we wanted to go out to dinner or not. And we decided to go out to dinner because when we're at dinner, we're facing each other at a table. And when we're at dinner on a date, we don't have so it was just us. And we made that intentional choice so that we could communicate, so that we could talk, because we have a relationship. And in order to develop that relationship, we need to talk. And I love going to movies, and I'm excited about some of the new movies coming out this year. I'm all obviously a Star Wars fan, and I don't even get into that right now. But there's some big Marvel movies coming out. But a movie is fun on a date night because it's exciting, but we're facing them, not each other, and we don't talk that way. And if we do, we're like, shh, because you're in a movie. But that's what praying is. It's talking to God. It's having this connection where you're talking to Him and you're listening. What does God want you to do? And that doesn't mean you're sitting there waiting for the, you know, your little feng shui bonsai tree to catch fire and start speaking to you. No. That happened to Moses. It was a little bit bigger than a bonsai. But maybe it's just God showing you something and you're like, yeah. Yeah, that's what I need to do. So it's praying and talking to God. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes this letter to the church in Thessalonica. Imagine having to write that as your address. Like, oh, come on. But at the church in Thessalonica, he says to them, always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. God wants you to never stop praying. God wants you to pray continually, depending on the translation. And so that means that you are talking with God. And that is how you pursue Him. That is how you develop this connection, is through prayer and through talking with God. And again, you are talking to the God of the universe. He is an amazing God. And we spent last month talking about how this God became human and died for us. And that is why we worship God. That is why we sing music of worship to Him, because He is worthy. So don't miss that. But don't feel like God is unapproachable. As a matter of fact, throughout the Word of God, specifically in the New Testament, it talks about how we can approach Him, how we are able to approach Him. We don't have to go through a high priest like they did in the Old Testament. We don't have to go to a priest like some other persuasions of Christian faith, I guess, the Roman Catholic priest idea that they're the only ones that can talk to God. That is not biblical. We have direct access to God, and we can talk to Him. And so if you want to connect to God, if you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus, take some time to pray and to talk. And don't even make it just that quick 5-second window or at dinner time. Say grace. She died 5 years ago. No, the blessing. You know, anyway, Christmas vacation. No, it doesn't have to be this dinner time thing. It's going to be way more than that. Make it a communication with God. Make it a connection, a talking, a praying. That's what prayer is. So another thing that can happen, another way you can connect to God, in addition, is reading, studying. And I put studying here. I don't want that to be intimidating. Well, that's what you do, Sean. You're the pastor. You study and you spend hours and hours. I do, because I'm trying to communicate the word of God. But I don't want this to be like, whoa, I can't do that. I don't have time to do that. Studying really just means, well, meditating on it, chewing on it, processing it, not just reading to get through, but to read to understand. And, I don't know, when we were younger, and I still, I guess, try to carry this on with my kids, but when my brothers and I, when we were young, when we would get a new game, we had Game Boys back then, and they were black and white LCD. They didn't have color, and they were this big and clunky. But the rule was that if we got a new game, because we would share it, that whoever read the instructions first got to play it. And if you know me well, you're like, yeah, right, I get it, Sean. You had to read all the rules and follow all the instructions, even all those warnings about rules and what happens in China's FCC rules at the end. But that was the rule. And so there's almost this rush to read the instructions through. And the reason that was the rule is because, you know, we're sharing this game and we're sharing this Game Boy, and then one of us will get on and start playing, not know what they're doing, and end all of our lives, or, you know, delete our save spot, or any of these really important things in life. We had to read the instructions so that you knew what you were doing and why you were doing it, because we were sharing it. And the thing is that if you read too quickly, if you read it to get done, you wouldn't actually know what you're doing. But you wanted to get done first so you could play it first. And sometimes that's what it comes when we are reading, when we are studying God's word, we do the same thing. Like, fly through to get done. And I just want to encourage you, don't. And even to take time, maybe read something again, this idea of meditate, this idea of chewing on a cud, like a cow chews on its cud, it coughs it back up, chews on it a while, swallows it, coughs it back up, chews it a little while, and swallows it. My grandfather did that sometimes. It was gross. But the idea of bringing it, like, do that. I think that would be sometimes more effective than just reading through a whole lot of stuff, because then we learn it and then we grow. In Joshua 1:8, God says this to Joshua as he's getting ready to lead. Moses is dead. Joshua is taking over, leading the people. They have just come out of Israel. They've been wandering in the desert for 40 years. And Joshua is about to take command of this massive group of people. And God tells him to not be afraid, and then to study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it. Same idea. Bring it back. Repetitive. Over and over. Day and night. So you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. So that same theme. Meditating. Chewing on God's word. Prospering. Succeeding. Doesn't come from just getting through it. It comes from taking the time to consider it. And he says, study it day and night continually. And you can do that. As a matter of fact, is my next slide the YouVersion slide? Yeah, it is. YouVersion. When I was growing up, back in my day, I'm feeling older now. I know that there's people that are older than me and you're like, shut up. I'm starting to really sense this generational change. My computer froze up on me and I had to send a Facebook message using my phone. And it was the most annoying thing ever. because I'm older now. But when I was growing up, like, we had campus life journals. Anybody have campus life journals in church? Anybody? No. Okay. Well, they were like these little devotional books that every month you would get one from your youth leader, and every day there was a different thing that you would go through, okay? And you'd read a little paragraph and phrase, and then maybe a passage you read and some questions and answers. It was good. There's nothing wrong with it. But the problem was, if you were out or sick or weren't able to get the next month's issue, you were kind of, I don't know what to do. Now, we've got YouVersion where you can do anything, and it's all instantly at your fingertips. And you can even have it instantly at your fingertips with your lunch break, and when you're lying in bed at night, getting ready to go to bed. I mean, it is instantly available, and I encourage you, if you don't have the YouVersion app, get it. There are tons and tons and tons of reading plans there. You can find something that works for you so that you have this opportunity to study and meditate on the Word of God. And the cool thing about that is that you can kind of, maybe you wake up and that's when you have some quiet time, and I don't mean a quiet time, but maybe that's when it's quiet, that you can do that and you can read through it. And then maybe later you've got some time at your lunch break or whatever that you can go over it again and meditate on it. That was something like, unless you carried your Bible in that big thick book, you were kind of like, wow, that's weird. But you can carry that anywhere with you. My mother-in-law, and I think I've shared this with you guys before, my mother-in-law spoke to a group of young moms years ago, and Kendra was, of course, part of that group that she was speaking to. And one of the things she talked about was the importance of toilet time. Because for many moms, I don't know, I'm not a mom, but for many moms, being on the toilet, yes, this is like, you're talking about the toilet in church? Yes. But that is probably one of the few times where you are alone in the course of your day. And you're like, I don't feel that way. That's fine. But if you are that way, you wash your hands when you're done. But pull out your phone. That's a great time. And she used to always say, during that time, keep a Bible on the back of your toilet, because you have focused time by yourself. And so maybe that's what it looks like for you. The point is that we're spending time in God's Word. We're not just reading it. We're allowing it to shape us. We're allowing it to grow us, because we're looking at it and understanding it. And that's what he said to Joshua. He didn't just say, read it. He didn't just say, read it over and over. He said, read it so that you do it. Which then leads to the third thing as far as connection with God. And that is listening and obeying. Because 1 and 2 aren't the end. God's Word isn't for us just to know it. And I know a lot of people that know it but don't do it. And the point is doing it. To obey the Word of God. To do what we are learning. And allowing it to shape us. Allowing it to change us. Allowing it to grow us. In Galatians, the passage we already looked at with the fruit of the Holy Spirit produces in our lives, he says this, Paul writes this to the church in Galatia, two different things there. He says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Let God's Word guide you. Let Him guide you so that you do it. So as you're studying, as you're reading, as you're connecting, don't just say, well, I read my Bible today. Why is my day so miserable? Was there something you were supposed to do? Was there something you were supposed to change that we're ignoring? And again, we'll talk more about that in a couple of weeks. But the point is to obey. That is the end. That is the end game. To know who God is and then to do it and to obey Him. And we are not obeying Him because it's something, well, you better do that or God will smote you. We're obeying because it's what's best for us, because God designed us and God loves us and God wants us to obey so that we have and can live and be the best that God wants us to be. And then later, a little bit later, he says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And this is that listening idea too. Say, is there something that you know? And there's, I can't quantify this for you. There's just that, yeah, that's something I need to do. And we have those kind of gut feelings. That's the Holy Spirit talking to us. And it's not all weird and burning bush and, you know, you're not flying or anything like that. But just this idea of, you know what, I probably should talk to that person. You know what, I probably shouldn't be watching this. You know what, maybe I need to step up and give that person a hand. And the question is, when you have those kind of those internal urges, do we let the Holy Spirit guide us or do we just turn away? And then we go, well, how come I never see God do anything exciting in my life? Well, I think God has presented opportunities and you continually turn away from Him. So listening and obeying, that's the third way that we develop that connection. Because God wants us to grow. God wants us to grow in our relationship with Him. And maybe that is your next step. Maybe for you, you've been sitting on the fence. You've been sitting back, going through the motions, and it's time to be done. Because the things that we want to look at in next month, which are not, they're nothing surprising, groundbreaking, earth-shattering, But they require us to be who God wants us to be first before we can start asking God to do some things outside of MC3. As we start looking outward, we need to look inward first. And so if that's you, just let God shape you. Take the step. Maybe go home. Talk with your spouse. Maybe talk with your kids. Get your kids to help you with that accountability too. Say, hey, this is something that I want to do. So when you see mom on her knees in the bedroom, leave her alone. Because she's trying to grow in her connection with God. So maybe that's for you. The next step for me is to grow in my relationship with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. I thank you that your Holy Spirit does work and does work inside of us and helps us to become more like you. And I thank you that your Holy Spirit also makes your word come alive. And that even now, in the midst of all the distractions in this room, I know that your Spirit can change us from the inside out. And I pray that for each person here, that we wouldn't allow the other things to get in the way, but to really focus on, God, what do you want us to do? Do we need to step up in our growing, in our relationship with you? Help us to truly pursue you, to avoid the darkness, to get out of these situations that we shouldn't be in, and then to devour your word, and not just know it, but allow it to change us. God, I pray that you would do that for us. I pray for the commitments as we start this new year, as we start these new steps, these next steps for us, that we wouldn't allow it to just kind of feel emotional or powerful and then forget about it when we watch the football games this afternoon. God, I pray that you would use these moments, these internal urgings, these issues that we know we need to work on and we need to change. I pray that we would do it and that you would give us the strength to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.